Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. It's where we was at last week.
Getting on to events that's going to happen in the last days, we talked about last week what's going on with the church during the tribulation period. The church will go through a trial of its own, not to see whether it's saved or not, but for its works. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, and we looked at that. So the first part of tribulation, everyone will be tried. Your works will be tried. See if they stand the test of fire. And fire will be whether it's worthy for the Lord, whether it was something selfish for your own purpose, for your own gain, earthly. And those things will be burnt, and only those things that's done for the Lord in the right spirit, right way, will be profited to the people. Even a drink of cold water in the name of the Lord, he takes recognize to. Then after that, we looked last week at chapter 19, and we saw there was a wedding. The wedding of the bride of Christ. When everything's done, and when she is done, and she's been clean and purified, she will be presented to the Son of God. There will be a wedding. The friends will be the Old Testament saints. And even we have John the Baptist referred to as a friend of the bridegroom, not the bride. The bride is Christ. And so therefore we found that she would be married and there would be friends there at the marriage supper. Now after the marriage supper, we find the next event takes place is a tribulation period comes to an end. When the marriage is complete. And so what's going to happen is the Lord's going to come back to the earth, and he's going to spend his time of festivities upon the earth. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign. The word millennial means 1,000. We're going to probably start that here in a week or two. But today we want to look at his return for 6,000 years plus. We have been prophesied that he's going to come and he's going to reign upon the earth. We're looking forward to his reign. Ever since his coming back 2,000 years ago, dying upon the cross of Calvary, several times in the Bible, he makes reference that he is coming back again. And just one reference is John 14, where he said that in his Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he would have told us. He go to prepare a place for us, and if he goes and prepare a place for us, he'll come again and receive us into himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Now, until the 1,000 years is expired, we will not be spending time in the holy city. That will be our eternal destination. We'll see that later on. You know, some people preach his funerals, and they'll say something like this: "Well, today they're walking on the streets of gold." Well, that's not true. They're not walking on streets of gold. Nobody is yet. We have not occupied the streets of gold, the city that's got the streets of gold yet. That comes when the new heaven, new earth comes about. Then the bride will be presented the new city, the new Jerusalem. It will come down. We will dwell there with the Lord forever. But until that time, he has a purpose upon this earth. There will be a time of festivity after the wedding that he will come back. And those that will enter into there will be chosen people. Now we're going to see some things that's going to take place. Begin reading with me in Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse number 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse." Now, a white horse is always an indication of a victor, someone who is victorious. Now, we saw in Revelation chapter 5, the Antichrist on the white horse, because he was going to be temporarily victorious. There was given to him a crown during that time because of a victory that he won. But here the Bible says, "Heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he who sat upon it, him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he does judge and make war. In other words, everything that he's fixing to do is going to be for the right reason and right cause. Right now, there are times when people declare war and fight battles that's unjust. They're doing things for all the wrong reasons. He's doing things for all the right reasons. So when he comes, he will be on the white horse already declaring victory. And he's going to come. Now, you've got to remember, he's coming in and it's going to be what we call the Battle of Armageddon. But you've got to remember this when you study the whole prophecies that's going to happen. There's going to be wars during the whole time of tribulation. Remember, Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And all the way through, the red horse was signifying a lot of bloodshed during that time. The black horse signified a lot of a famine and pestilence that would be because of the wars. And then the pale horse, in the first few seals that was broken, well, indicated a lot of death that was going to happen because of the wars and battles would be taking place. Now, the Battle of Armageddon, to use a phrase of Saddam Hussein, is going to be the mother of all wars. And it's going to be the consummation of all the battles during the time of tribulation. There's going to be battles and wars during all that time, but it's going to come to a head when Jesus comes back. Let's look at some things that's going to happen. And notice that he's going to make war. And let's see who he's going to make war with. The Bible says when he comes back, he that sat upon there, his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, what it means when his eyes is a flame of fire, it means that when he looks and he proclaims judgment, whatever he says is true. Now, Brother Junior was talking about the devil being a liar and the father of lies. Well, you know, Benny Hinn, the reason why he prays to the people he prays to is because that's who his father is. He's a liar. He's a con artist. He's a thief. He's someone that takes advantage, and he claims to do all these things, but he's a dangerous, dangerous person. But here, there's a lot of people that don't speak truth. His eyes is a flame of fire. Everything he sees, he will see it just as it is, and it will judge everyone and everything just as it needs to be judged. There'll be no deceiving Jesus. And on his head were many crowns. These are crowns. Remember, I told you, the 24 elders laid crowns at his feet. Every one of us who receives crowns for our works, the glory will be during that time, recognizing the Lamb of God for who he is. And it will be such a great privilege to have any crowns that we could take off our head and lay on at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says that he will have many crowns during that time. Because everybody who earns a crown here upon this earth earns it only because of him. And we will gladly honor him with our crowns because we will recognize that he deserves everything that we received by anything that we've done. So the Bible says that when he comes, that on his head were many crowns. Now the Antichrist, remember, they gave him a crown. The world did. But here, Jesus earned all his crowns, and he deserved all his crowns, and he come with many crowns. And the Bible says, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now, doing that, and that probably has a lot more in it than what I know, but we do know this. Nobody can ever know the fullness of Jesus Christ. He's more than what any words can ever describe. He's greater than any of our minds can ever behold. When he comes, there will be a name. Now, what that name that will be, I don't know. But he will have a name written that no man knew but he himself. It's given just for this purpose of time. Now, when he first come as a baby, he came full of grace and truth. When he comes here, he's coming with righteousness and truth and judgment. And so now they're going to see a different Jesus this time than what they saw the last time. The last time he was a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He walked meek upon the earth. He died without saying a word, went to the cross of Calvary, died for the sins of mankind. When he comes this time, there's going to be no dying. There's going to be no smiting him on the face. There's not going to be no spit in his face. There's going to be no planting the crowns of thorns. There's not going to be no whipping his back. None of that stuff's going to happen to this Jesus when he comes. When he comes, he's coming back to take the earth. And he's coming back to own what's his. And so that name is going to be a different name than we know him. Right now we know him as Savior, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he comes back, he's going to be the judge. And whatever name that is going to be given. He's coming back for a purpose. Let's see what all it is. Verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In other words, when he comes back, he's coming back and there's going to be a lot of death and dying. He's going to be the cause of blood being shed. And by the way, a lot of people say, well, preacher, I think war's bad. Well, a lot of war is bad, but sometimes war is necessary. The Bible says that God has ordained us leaders that they might be able to stamp out evil. There's a lot of evil people all around this world, and sometimes there's evil countries and dictators in countries, and sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And I don't want to go to war at all, but I agree with the president. If you can avoid war, avoid it. But if I'm going to fight it, I'm going to fight it and get it over with. I'm not going to send a bunch of people in there to give a tit for a tat. I'm not going to send them in like our last president did and said, now you can't shoot until they shoot at you. That's ridiculous. If I'm going to send them in there, I'm going to send them in there to win the war. Now, that's what our president said he would do, and I hope he stands by his word. But when Jesus comes, he's coming to conquer. He is going to conquer the world and take it back. And every army, every defense that stood against him when he comes back is going to die. And their blood's going to be shed. You know why? The word of God has declared that he's coming back. The word of God has declared that he's going to do this. If you look back in chapter 14, when one of the last vials was given, the Bible says the blood will run up to the horse's bits. And if you read the furlongs, it will. It means about 180 miles it will travel, 184 miles, that it will be up to the horse's bit. I mean, man, this is going to be a slaughter. This battle of Armageddon, going to be in the valley of Megiddo. And when it happens, it's going to be a terrible battle. But you know what he's going to defeat them with? The word of God. The word of God has done declared that he's going to come. The word of God says he's going to judge the nations when he gets here. The word of God says he's going to take all those that have taken part with the beast and the false prophet, and he's going to destroy them. And so the word of God is declared it. So when he comes, his name is going to be called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have three that bears record to us, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, John said. And so, he is the Word of God, that's his name. Look in verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, some people says, well, is this the army of angels? Or is this the army of his saints? Who is this army? Well, I know we are coming back, and I do know this. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that when we're called out, of this earth in the rapture, what we call the rapture, forever we shall be with the Lord. Where you find the Lord, that's where you're going to find us. So when he's coming back to the earth from heaven, we're going to be with him. So I know we're going to be there. And since we are there clothed in fine linen and clean, that's the same garments that we found that the church was given. So I assume that the saints are with him, his bride is with him, and we are on the white horses because we have been victorious as well. We have been had victory because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And so here we're coming back with him. Look in verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So when he comes back, he's not coming back to preach a message for them to be saved. He's coming back with a message of destruction. Out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. He's going to speak and they're going to die. They're going to be slaughtered. It's going to be a wine press. A wine press is when you put grapes in there and you press that and you see juice run out. Well, it's going to be blood. The wine press of God is when people are killed and their blood is shed. And they're going to be, their blood's going to be drained. And it's going to flow out. Well, that's what he's going to do. The Bible says he's going to smite the nations. Now, the nations are going to rise against him, we're going to see in just a moment. But he's going to tread it, the winepress, the Bible says, with the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, you've got to remember, the word wrath, you heard me say many times, the word wrath, if you study it, means a stored up anger of God. All this time that God's grace and long suffering and all that's been going on, he's exhibited just small bits and pieces sometimes of his wrath. But this time is going to be the fullness of his wrath. His wrath is going to come out against all the kings of the earth, all the nations of the earth that turns and comes against God, and they're going to be destroyed. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Notice it is capitalized. It is emphasized. There is no king that this king will not be king of. There is no lords that this lord will not be lord of. In other words, his rightful place will be exalted over any king of the earth and anyone and anything that's worshiped as a lord. So he's going to be over those. Now, the Bible says in verse number 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now, we're talking about the coming, those of you that in Kelly's class, we're talking about the coming back of the Lord at the end of the marriage supper of the church, the bride. And in Revelation chapter 19, if you got your Bibles, that's where we're at. We're in verse number 17. Now this angel says that there's going to come a feast, and he calls forth the fowls of the air. Now if you keep your Bible there, or finger there in your Bible, and go over to Ezekiel chapter 39, Ezekiel chapter 39, we find the battles that's going to take place. And he talks about the same thing happening. And he prophesied that this would happen. Notice if you would in verse number 17. He says in chapter 39 of Ezekiel verse 17, and thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come and gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice, that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty, drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of the rams and lambs and goats and bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. In other words, he tells them to gather together. There's fixing to be a great feast for all the birds to eat off of. And so this angel comes down, and he calls all the birds together to the battle of Armageddon and said, stand by, we're fixing to feed you all you can eat. Now notice if you would in verse 18. He said that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. In other words, during this time, what's going to happen is, when you read all the prophecies that God prophesies of this period of time, there's going to be nations upon the earth. Remember, if you ever study World War II, about when Hitler was about, he persecuted the Jews. Now, there was times and there were some people that would hide the Jews. Now, if they ever got caught hiding the Jews, they'd be killed. And several of them would be taken. I've read stories about different ones that got took, that got found hiding the Jews. And they got took and how they were treated and things that happened to them. As a matter of fact, I used one illustration a while back. Now, in this time, the Bible teaches us that there's going to be some nations that's going to befriend Israel. And those nations and those people that's befriended Israel is going to be able to go into the kingdom. And they're going to be able to reign when Christ reigns for 1,000 years. They're going to be able to go into this kingdom. Israel's going to be able to go into the kingdom. But there's a lot of the nations that will not be able to go into the kingdom. Now notice what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of kings, a lot of people that's going to come against the Lord. They're going to be fighting and they're going to be a battle. Then all of a sudden, they're going to come against the Lord when they see him coming. They're going to gather themselves together right here in the Valley of Megiddo. The Bible predicts it. When Jesus is through out of his mouth, they're going to be defeated with a sharp two-edged sword. The Bible says the blood's going to flow up to the horse's bit. Look, if you would, in chapter 14. You'll find that mentioned in verse number 20. And the winepress was trodden without the city. Blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And again, when you read this, that's about 184 miles. Now, picture this. For 84 miles, this big old wide valley, and blood flowing about 4 foot high. For 184 miles. Imagine how many kings, how many armies are going to come against the Lord in this battle of Armageddon. And so when they all come, they turn. Now they're fighting against each other, but when they see the Lord, they all decide to fight him. And he don't fight fair, because all he does is say something, and when he says something, they die. And the Bible says and tells the fowls of the air in verse 18 that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of the captains, the flesh of mighty men. In other words, it doesn't matter how strong they are, how powerful they are, who they are, they're going to die. And notice, he says, flesh of the horses and flesh of them that sit upon them, and flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Somebody said, well, we don't use horses for battles anymore. Oh, you're wrong. In those places of the world, they do fight with horses a lot of times. There's a lot of places they can't get to in tanks and things like that, and they use horses to get to. Now, look, if you would, in verse number 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against the army. In other words, when the Lord and his saints come, heaven open, they come down, like the Bible said over in verse 14, when they come down, all of a sudden the army is going to turn against them. Now, they're going to think, because they have all this number and this great, everybody unites together because the beast, the Antichrist, encourages them to fight the one that sits upon the horse. Notice what happens. In verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, Satan has a trinity, just like the trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Well, during the time of tribulation, the trinity of the devil will show up. It will be the devil, the Father. It will be the beast, the Antichrist, the Son, a prediction. Then it will be the false prophet, the wicked spirit that will be the other part of the Trinity. Everything that God is, the devil tries to mimic. Just as God has God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the devil will have the devil, being the Father, the Son of prediction, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, being the Spirit, the false spirit. Now, at this battle of Armageddon, the beast is taken, the Antichrist, the false prophet is taken, which is two parts of the devil head, and they are cast alive into the lake of fire because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And so the two parts of the trinity of the devil is already cast there at the end of this battle of Armageddon. Now we find, if you look in chapter 20 real quickly, in verse number 10, you'll find when the third part of the Trinity will be cast in the lake of fire. And the Bible says the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall to be tormented day and night forever and ever. When does that take place? If you read chapter 20, 1,000 years. That's why the reign of Christ. Satan's going to be bound for that 1,000 years. He's not going to be able to deceive people, but he's going to be loosened at the end of that 1,000 years. And he's going to go out to deceive nations. We'll look at that later on. But I did want you to see that all three parts of the trinity of the devil is going to end up in hell. Who else is going to be there? Look back in you would in chapter 20, verse 20, chapter 19. Not only was a beast taken, not only was a false prophet that worked miracles that encouraged everybody to worship the beast, but also those that received the mark of the beast. Now remember, this is not for those of us who are saved. But those people during the tribulation time that has refused to believe the gospel, that has rejected Jesus, they're going to believe a lie. The lie is going to be Antichrist. And what's going to happen is you cannot buy or sell anything unless you have a mark. You got to have it in your right hand and your forehead. It may be a tattoo. It may be something under the skin. I don't know what it will be, but it will be a mark of the beast. The beast being the Antichrist. In other words, it will be a sign that you have taken that so that you can be part of the economy. You can go to a store and buy, and that's how they know whether you are capable and whether you qualified to buy or not. If you don't have the mark, you can't buy nothing. You can't go into a store and buy a loaf of bread unless you have the mark of the beast. Now, during this time, when we read Matthew chapter 25, we find that there's going to be some people that's going to be friendly to Israel. They're going to clothe them. They're going to visit them. They're going to take care of them because they're not going to abide by the commandments and laws of this Antichrist. But there'll be great danger if they're found. But those people will be able to go into the kingdom. Everybody else who took the mark of the beast, they're going to die that day at the Battle of Armageddon. They're going to die and they're going to go down to hell, to the waiting place, till we get over in chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. And that's when they're going to be brought back before the great white throne judgment. And then they're going to be cast where the beast and the false prophet are, and where the devil will be cast. They will be cast into hell, the lake of fire. But right now they'll be in the heart of the earth where everybody else that's lost has died. That's where they'll be waiting the great white throne judgment. Now notice here in verse 20 that the Bible says that them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped his image. Now these both, talking about the beast and false prophet, were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Verse 21. And the remnant, now the word remnant means the rest of them, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So even sometimes it may be some that was not, did not have actually the mark of the beast, but they're still part of the army that was against God. They're still going to be they're still going to die, and they're going to be consumed by all these fowls of the air. So when you think of the Battle of Armageddon, if you think of it in totality of all the scriptures of what it teaches just what we've talked about here. Now picture this a minute. All these battles and stuff's going to be fought during the 7 years tribulation. And probably, to be honest with you, there'll be some of them that lead us into the tribulation. Then at the end of it, Christ comes back to take his place. All these gather themselves against him. And out of his mouth, he proceeds, and they are destroyed. And as we saw there in chapter 14, verse 20, blood will flow to the horse's bridle, to the bits, for 184 miles. And therefore, there will be a great slaughter of those people. Now, there will be some that will go into the kingdom. And we'll look at that a little later on. In chapter 25 of Matthew, when Jesus is talking, he is talking about a judgment there of sheep and goats. And a lot of people think, as a matter of fact, well, I don't have time right now. You read that sometime. The sheep and goats are not the saved and lost going to heaven or hell. Those are the people that's going into the kingdom, the reign of Christ, or those that's going to have to remain, or that's going to be killed during this time of this Battle of Armageddon. And so it will be judged according to how they treated the brethren, how they treated Israel during that time. And so that will be, we'll take that up next week. We've run out of time today. But just think, when you think of the Battle of Armageddon, understand it in the totality of what it's all about. And you see that God is bringing forth his wrath, and Jesus is a different person this time when he comes with his armies from heaven than he did when he came as a babe in the manger. Whole different name, whole different process, whole different reflection upon the earth of what's going to take place when he comes. So remember that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for many blessings. Thank you for the day in which you've given us. Go with us throughout this day. We give you praise and honor and glory for all things. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.